Thank you very much. So I want to say a word about Pesticide Action Network. It is an international network of more than 600 organizations in over 90 countries. There is no one headquarters. In fact, there are 5 regional centers in Senegal, Malaysia, UK and Germany split the bill for Europe, Argentina, but in fact it rotates around in Latin America, and we are the regional center for North America. We work collectively to ban the use of the most hazardous pesticides, reduce the use of others, and promote safe alternatives. And particularly when we're talking about agricultural use of pesticides, the real solution to pesticides in agriculture is simply not using them. So being able to talk about the safe alternatives is, in fact, it gives me great joy to be at this point. I've spent a lot of time, and I still do, work on documenting exposure and talking about the hazards, but it's great to be able to talk about the solutions and the alternatives. I just want to also recognize the partners of this project on whose behalf I'm presenting. That is Rural Advancement Foundation International, Comité de Apoyo a los Trabajadores Agrícolas, Northeast Organic Farmer Association, Florida Organic Growers, and a Pan-Latin America partner, Fundación Renace in Bolivia. I have no relationships to disclose. And I want to put into context this presentation, and I'm going to actually read these 3 excerpts from what I think is an excellent policy paper from APHA, Environment Section, back in 3 years ago, November 2007. In the U.S., obesity and diet-related chronic disease rates are escalating, while the public's health is further threatened by rising antibiotic resistance, chemicals and pathogens contaminating our food, air, soil, and water, depletion of natural resources, and climate change. These threats have enormous human, social, and economic costs that are growing, cumulative, and unequally distributed. These issues are all related to food, what we eat, and how it is produced. Finally, although most U.S. food consumption occurs within this industrial system, healthier and more sustainable alternatives are increasingly available, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today, is one of those alternatives about which I'm particularly excited. Oops, other way. The Agricultural Justice Project, the intent of this project is to join social justice for all food system workers with environmental stewardship. To do that, what they were motivated to do this because of some of the main hazards or social inequities in agriculture. I'll just mention a couple within 2 key sectors, that is the farm workers and the growers. Farm workers, as we know, many of us know, and we have heard today, have some of the most deplorable conditions of work, lowest rates of pay, less than a median income of less than $10,000, most hazardous, highest rates of mortality, and are excluded explicitly from worker protections afforded most other workers in this country, and that has been described in more detail elsewhere today by Don and others. Growers face similar difficulties. Let me first ask about the farm workers. How many people have seen parts of or all of or heard of Edward R. Murrow's Harvest of Shame documentary that came out 50 years ago this month? The conditions described in that documentary, that excellent documentary, are the same today that they were 50 years ago, or perhaps worse, but basically the same story. Growers face similar difficulties and disparities. How many people have seen the recent film, Food Inc.? More people have seen that. Food Inc. describes a situation where growers, particularly family farmers, have faced similar constraints with agribusiness calling the shots, deciding what's produced, how it's produced, to whom are they going to sell. And if they don't feel like following those rules, they can pack up and go elsewhere. They don't have options if they want to stay in farming. So the Ag Justice Project decided explicitly to focus on the rights of both farmers and farm workers. Oops, keep going the wrong way. Looking at healthy relationships, healthy environment, and that need to come together to make for healthy food. This is a project that worked. I'm going to not go there yet. This is a project that has taken over 10 years of working explicitly with multi-sectoral groups over many, many different exchanges with meaningful participation of farm workers, growers, retailers, nonprofits, and more. I was involved personally in 2000 in the early stages of this project, have not been directly involved lately, except kept in touch with these colleagues, and that's why they trust me to give this presentation, for which I'm honored. Keep going the wrong way. Okay, so why domestic fair trade? Well, we have also heard today and yesterday about the rise of organic. That's really good. Farmers are, in fact, rewarded for environmental stewardship. But organic is increasing at about 20% per year. That's great. And it's industrialized. And we've also heard about the same consolidation that describes conventional food describes the organic industry. We also know that there's a failure of public policy to ensure equity and justice in the food system. That's no different whether you're talking organic or conventional. And working conditions and price to farmers are excluded from the USDA organic program, thus the need to bring in social equity in sustainable production systems. How does AJP propose to do this? By developing a label for food that comes from farms and businesses with fair labor and trade practices, along with environmental stewardship. Now, producing a label requires that you have to have a standard behind that label, and you have to have a standard with integrity and a way to ensure that integrity. Now, this project began in 2000. Well, 2008 comes along, and they get some good data from the Produce Marketing Association, which supports the contention that, in fact, there is interest among the consumers out there to support this kind of initiative, because we're talking about the market and consumers driving this change in this particular example. We see that consumers want a living wage for workers. So this is a score of out of five. Consumers want worker safety programs, water conservation, pollution reduction, energy conservation, water reuse programs, et cetera, and also a question of recyclable packaging and the like. But the point is that consumer surveys support this kind of initiative. So to talk a little bit about what the AJP standard development was about, again, you have to first start out with, well, what are fair, healthy relationships? So these are some of the pictures that I mentioned of, over the years, many multi-sectoral activities of engagement with farm workers in the upper right, with growers on the bottom left, and of course also retailers, nonprofits, etc. And to ensure the integrity of the standard and the label that will be used to communicate those standards to consumers, requires third-party certification. Some labels, maybe surprisingly out there, in fact, don't have third-party certification. One of the things that's unique to the AJP is that worker representatives are specifically on the inspection teams. There are few, if no, examples out there when you're talking about worker safety or worker justice in food production where workers themselves are part of that evaluation and verification system. AJP then trains and oversees certifiers. In fact, many of the certifiers in this project were organic certifiers, so they know the routine, they know how to do certification of farms. They add on then the components of social equity that are part of the AJP standard. And then also AJP provides tools and assistance to farmers and businesses interested in undertaking this, or using this label. A little more detail of the standards that they offer. Standards look specifically at fair relationships for farmers and buyers, farm workers and food business workers, farm interns and children on farms. And we've also heard quite a bit about the issues of children on farms. And some of those issues, which are common to both organic or sustainable agriculture and conventional, sometimes is more difficult in organic because you have greater labor demands. Not only do you have more labor demands, but you have different kinds of labor requirements, because organic requires that not only do you substitute mechanical weeding for herbicides, but you also have to have different crops and crop rotations and more complex management of soils and pesticides and pest management and biological control agents and the entire ecology of the system that you have to understand to make it productive. So the labor issues in organic can be more complex, and these are not trivial issues that AJP had to deal with, and it's very admirable that they have taken this all on. The standard also addresses protection of the environment, and we have here organic and sustainable, recognizing that not everybody can get to organic right away. There are means by which growers can participate in this standard and label if there are explicit benchmarks for approaching organic. It also has a way for all people who labor in the food system to have a way to submit a complaint and a dependable process for resolving conflicts. This might look familiar with language associated with labor contracts, and that's the kind of thing that is in fact fundamental to labor contracts, is that there's a clear way to deal with conflict. Standards are publicly published and anyone can see them anytime, and that is also fundamental to the transparency and integrity of this label. A couple pictures here. This is an AJP piloted project in the Upper Midwest, started in 2007 with a food co-op. And on the right is Elizabeth Henderson, one of the key partners of the AJP. This is a picture from the farm that is the first non-piloted AJP project, also in the Upper Midwest. The plans for expansion are first to consolidate the program in the Upper Midwest. There is a certified grower group in Canada now on board. And AJP is working with interested stakeholders in California, Northeast, Southeast, Northwest. Put up this slide because I'm not one of the key partners, so if you are interested in getting in touch with anybody from the Agricultural Justice Project, you can go to their website at agriculturaljusticeproject.org. If anybody does want to talk to me, I would be happy to forward messages or help you get in touch with some of the partners, but that's probably the best way to do so. And just some pictures of the partners. Upper left is Marty Mesh from Florida Organic Growers. Upper right is Michael Sly standing there talking to folks. He's from the Rural Advancement Foundation International. Below him is Richard Mandelbaum from CATA, the farm worker group in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Puerto Rico, but based in New Jersey. And then again, Elizabeth Henderson in the lower left. So I want to thank you all for coming and thank my daughter on the left and my nephew's son on the right, who are in the Oakland Public Schools Elementary School, the Oakland Public Elementary School that they both attend, where there are great community garden or great school gardens where the kids are fired up about working in the garden, about eating the food out of the garden, and this is where this is where the future begins. And it's so exciting that the public schools, even Oakland, as depressed as it is, can really support these kinds of programs. And when you see the kids excited about it, it's so fun. So at any rate, thank you all. I'll leave it at that.
I had heard about something like this in California a few years ago, and I think this whole labeling thing is very important. You mentioned the retailer end. I shudder to ask who the retailers are that are willing to step forward. I suspect it's not the Kroger's of the world, but do you have, is that end of this project on board yet with retailers, and who are they?
This particular project is relatively small scale, working at the level of local cooperatives. And then, now there is, separately, not part of this, another initiative that's very new that I'm excited on behalf of Pesticide Action Network to be involved in, and that's an effort being driven by the United Farm Workers of America, by the tree planters, and by Bakun, the farm worker organization up in Oregon, Farm Labor Organizing Committee out of Ohio. In other words, the three main farm worker organizations and other associates in the U.S., the food safety folks and animal welfare kind of figure, kind of standard and ultimate label with big retailers. That project is just underway. It's very exciting, and it's sort of on the fast track. So maybe a year from now, I'll have much more that I can tell you about, including the names of the retailers.
All right.
I can't say that. Yeah.
So how are you publicizing what the label is and means to consumers, or are you leaving that to the retailers?
That's a very, very good question. So the question is about how is the label publicized, what it means. And with the folks who are implementing this, first, primarily in the Midwest, there's a lot of retail outreach. So there's a lot of education of the consumers that come to the retail establishments. And like I said, a lot of it is sort of co-op, local co-op level outreach. And so it's a little bit easier to do that outreach and education to your own local community of consumers. So that's sort of the level at which there is. But it's also similar to other labels like the Food Alliance in the Upper Northwest. A lot of that is sort of outreach and education to your regional group of consumers, and that's kind of the focus of this talk. Now, questions for everybody?
Yeah, do the rest of the presenters come up? So we have about 10 minutes left for questions for all four presenters. If you're in the back and you can't hear them speaking, then please just speak up and we'll just come around to the microphone.
No, I'm sorry. I think it's great, the Agriculture Justice Project. I was looking at, for another bit of work I'm doing, all of the different efforts, Sustainability Index, Leonardo Academy, blah, blah, blah.
People can't hear you.
Okay. That's unusual. People usually say I talk too much.
Maybe
the former, I don't know about the latter. This is the only project that I know of that has substantial engagement of labor. Labor tried to participate in some of the others, but ultimately withdrew for various reasons we don't need to go into. The notion of a label being the way to get to the consumers, I think it's a really interesting, provocative idea. At the same time, I have some concerns about it. I'll give you some of the data and see why. Every year, Produce Marketing Association, together with others, does a national survey of consumer preferences with respect to the purchase of produce. And about 10 years ago, they added organic as another category of looking at 56 different produce items. And in 2009, they published their results that showed for those 56 different fresh produce items, a median of, I believe, 5% or so of consumers said they purchased only organic, okay? And 77% said they purchased only a conventional. The latest survey published in early 2010, referring to 2009, shows a very different picture. The median was 2% purchasing only organic, and the purchasing only conventional up to 88%. I think it has a lot to do with the economy, it has a lot to do with other factors. So I don't want to say the consumer is fickle, because they're right in terms of what they need to feed their families, okay? But on the other hand, if we're putting all of our eggs in this labeling, I have some concern. Do you have any thoughts to that?
Gosh, there is the fear of label burnout, because there are a lot of labels out there. On the other hand, I want to have confidence that if it can go, if labels or standards are some way to communicate improvement to consumers can be represented on the